On Monday evening, Prime Minister Naftali Bennett and Foreign Minister Yair Lapid surprised the nation and many of their coalition members by announcing their intention to voluntarily disband their government and send the country back into its fifth election since 2019, likely in late October or early November. Jeff Halper is an Israeli-American anthropologist, author of Lecture, and we welcome Jeff to the airways of Radio Islam. Jeff, good morning, greetings and welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for joining us. Is this news of the disbanding a surprise?
No, it's not really a surprise. I mean, this government has never been real stable. It's a nice idea in a way, you know, put together right and left and bring in an Islamic party as well. But it could never really work because the whole premise of it was forget the whole Palestinian issue. Forget everything political. The only way we can succeed is if we focus solely on domestic issues, education, housing, roads, and things like that. And, you know, and that's fine, except you can't ignore the occupation. You can't ignore the Palestinians. And obviously, when things broke out, like, you know, the attacks in Al-Aqsa Mosque during Ramadan, the evictions of Palestinian residents from their homes in Sheikh Jarrah, you know, all kinds of things. I mean, you can't just, you know, block out the occupation, you know, and go on with life as usual. And as these events, as the occupation and the oppression of the Palestinians caught up with everybody, the government had to react. And they couldn't react in a way that both the right and the left were satisfied with. And in the end, that's what led the right wing. It was simply too much for Bennett's own party to support any kind of policies, for example, that would give housing to Bedouins in the Negev, in the Naqab, you know, which is what the Islamic Party wanted. Or they couldn't stand criticism of what Israel had done in Al-Aqsa. And that's really what led to the fall of the government. It was really the Palestinian issue. And this issue of the West Bank that I can talk about in a minute if you want to.
Yes, very
interesting.
Yes, go on.
Well, I mean, the main thing is, I mean, it's really almost funny, but it's interesting. You know, in 1967, Israel conquered the West Bank, East Jerusalem, and Gaza. Well, it's the next East Jerusalem, so it's taken that out of the occupied territory. Okay, but they didn't annex. So under international law, the Fourth Geneva Convention, they have to rule over the occupied territory by military rule. Okay, so we have what's called the civil administration, which is really the army rules the West Bank and Gaza. Okay, now, the problem is you've got Israeli settlers moving into the West Bank. There's almost 800, well, there's actually about 400,000 Israeli settlers living in the West Bank itself. Well, they can't live under military rule. They're Israelis. They need all the rights, you know, pensions, the ability to vote, the ability to go to the army, the ability to move freely, to be tried in regular Israeli courts and not in military courts like Palestinians. They can't be treated like Palestinians. So what Israel did was they enacted emergency regulations that said the Israeli law will apply to Israeli citizens living in the West Bank. Okay, and then it was renewed every 5 years. And everybody agreed, labor, it was wall-to-wall agreement. Nobody even knew about it because it was passed automatically every 5 years. Now we get to a point where the Likud and Netanyahu don't want to give any support to Bennett's government because they want it to fall. And so they voted against renewing the emergency regulations, which would mean, you know, when they're out at the end of June, all the settlers in the West Bank are going to be like Palestinians. It's going to expose the entire apartheid occupation nature of Israel. And that's intolerable both for the settlers, but also for, you know, what that means to expose this whole system. And they had another vote and it didn't pass again. The only way they can pass it, and they have to pass it. Otherwise, the whole game of Israel is really kind of exposed and up. The only way they can pass it is to resign as a government. Now they're not the government anymore. There'll be elections. And now there's no reason why the Likud and the right-wing opposition won't support the emergency regulations. So under the table, I think that was really the big issue. Don't forget the MENA, which is Bennett's party, are all settlers. They represent the settlers. So they couldn't allow the settlers to become Palestinians, basically. And that was, I think, the real reason why the government fell.
So how will the Knesset operate once it's disbanded?
Well, there's a caretaker government. In other words, it'll pass to Yair Lapid, who's now the foreign minister. He'll be a caretaker prime minister until the elections, which will probably be in October, and then we'll see in the elections. During this whole period until October, I don't think the government's able to pass new laws. It's a caretaker government. But it'll still be in power, and it'll still govern until the elections. It's kind of simply a formalistic sort of a thing.
Yes. And when can we expect elections to be held?
So I think they're talking about the end of October, having the elections. Now, I don't think there'll be any different outcome. I mean, Netanyahu is not popular in the country. It's true that it's the biggest party, but the Likud only has a quarter of the votes. I mean, today it only has 20% of the votes of the seats in parliament. So I'm not so sure he's going to be able to cobble together a government. He failed the last four elections. And now we have Bennett's government, and it could very well be that it'll be the same result. I mean, different parties. I mean, Bennett's out, his party's gone. There'll be a reshuffling of parties, but it's the same thing. It's basically a 50-50 split between the Likud and supporters of Netanyahu, including the religious parties, and everybody else. People on the right that used to be in the Likud, middle-class voters that are more liberal, secular. And then, of course, the Arab vote, the Palestinian vote in Israel, which is interesting. And here's really sort of, it's doubly funny, because the only way that you can set up a government a little bit with the left that's against the Likud is if the Arab voters come out and vote strongly in the election. But they don't. The Arab voters really don't really have any interest in Israeli elections. So Ram, which is the Islamic party, and the other three Arab parties that make up the joint Arab list only have together 10 seats in the parliament, which means they have less than 10% of the vote. There's 120 seats. So let's say they get 8% of the vote. But Palestinians are 20% of the Israeli population. So they should really be getting 20 seats in the parliament. You see, and if that happened, they would be the swing that would allow a non-right-wing government to come into power. So the big question is going to be, are the Arabs going to come out and vote or not? And, of course, the Palestinians in Israel, the citizens of Israel, are saying, wait a minute, why does saving Israel depend on the Arab vote? I mean, what do you want us to save Israel? And basically, they're refusing to do that. So half the Palestinians in Israel don't vote in the elections.
A rather complex but fascinating situation, Jeff. And you've really simplified it and given us a fascinating insight on it. Thank you very much for your time.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
Have a lovely day. Bye-bye.
You too.